The greatest obstacle to discovering the shape of the earth, the continents, and the ocean was not ignorance, but the illusion of knowledge. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the thought for today. The greatest obstacle to discovering the shape of the earth, the continents, and the ocean was not ignorance, but the illusion of knowledge, said Daniel Boorstin. Can you imagine what that means? Fie on the illusion of knowledge. Disgust with the illusion of knowledge. Disapproval of the illusion of knowledge. You see, that's called preconceived idea. And when you have a preconceived idea, you will never find the truth. When you have a preconceived idea, you will never realize what wonders lie before you. A jury that is preconceived on the guilt of the person that stands before them, the person has, it's not a jury. It's a jury that has preconceived the guilt of the person before they even hear the case. A person who listens to their boss and their boss says, go sweep the sidewalk. And then they dash out to sweep the sidewalk and they didn't finish hearing what the boss had to say. They had a preconceived idea of what he wanted done. And then they came in about 10 minutes later, maybe half an hour later, and they say, well, it's all done. He says, not really. He said, I was telling you, go sweep the sidewalk after they deliver the bubbles that we're going to use in our packing equipment, because some of the bubbles always seem to escape and float around in our driveway, and so you should go and sweep it. And then I said, quite likely sweeping it is not the thing you want to do. You want to use our suction commercial vacuum cleaner that we use in our shop vac, to suck them up, because if you try to sweep them up, they'll just float away. But you didn't hear. You didn't hear because you had the illusion of knowledge of what I wanted you to do before I finished saying to you what I wanted to say to you. Now, it's true. I should have said, now, before you act, listen to me. I want you to go and sweep up all the bubbles that come in the insulation package after they're delivered this afternoon, because I know some of them will get loose and I don't want them flying around the neighborhood. And perhaps it's a good idea to use the vacuum of the shop vac to vacuum up, because then you can get a hold of them. Otherwise, they fly away on you. But you see, with a preconceived idea, you ran out and you did an unnecessary task of sweeping the sidewalk, which perhaps didn't even need to be swept. The greatest obstacle to discovering the shape of the earth and the continents and the ocean was not ignorance, but the illusion of what it was. What is it that they said in the early days about the earth?
It's flat.
Flat. So what have you got? You got no other side to it. And you don't have a roundedness to it. You don't have anything to it. You see, the preconceived idea, and they drew maps of the earth like that too. And then you fall off. we think it's humorous today, but at that time, that was not funny. And you wonder who lived at the edge of the earth, you know. But it's a preconceived idea. So I say fie on those things. I say I'm disgusted with those things. I will not participate in those things. But yet we do, don't we? We do. Your mother is coming to visit. And your husband says, oh, God, no, you know. Not another week of complaining. And then the wife says, sweetheart, mother's coming to visit, and I love her. And mother is always a joy to have around. She always says beautiful things. You see, she's not going to believe the illusion of the past. She's not going to believe the illusion of even the present, or certainly not of what her husband's bringing up. But she's going to say, mother is a gentle angel. And so then the husband says, well, sweetheart, it's your mother, so I will attempt to see her as an angel. Now, how do you want me to look? And she says, well, in the first place, When she does something wrong, don't immediately jump on her and say that you always do it. When she does something that is bitching and complaining, don't complain about it. You just say to her something contrary, positive, and always be looking at everything that you want her to be doing in a positive way, in a positive way. And when you do that, then that's the way she'll be. She will be the perfect reflection of what you are. Well, why didn't we do that before? Well, we didn't think of it. Now we thought of it, so let's do it now. Let's have a harmonious visit with our mother, my mother. And, hey, you know, your mother isn't such a cup of tea either, you know. When she comes here, she thinks her little boy isn't being properly taken care of, you know. And you're not a little boy anymore. And you created me taking care of you very good, wouldn't you say, sweetheart? Yes, love. But you see, these are things, preconceived illusions, fie on them. We don't want anything to do with them. We are disgusted with them. We are disapproving of them. They are not in our life. We want in our life not the illusion of knowledge. We want the openness to all knowledge, the openness to all wisdom, the openness to all being. Now, knowledge is not a beneficial thing. Oh, boy, Herb, you're really biting off a chunk there. That's right. Knowledge is always changing. Knowledge is a bunch of facts that are put together, which today are and tomorrow are as dust in the fire. Tomorrow, the knowledge of today and the facts of today are totally changed. Think of a few years ago, was there TV? A few years ago, was there a computer? A few years ago, was there cantometers? Yeah, big room full of machines that said 1 and 1 is 2. But today, in your hand, you can have a little tiny computer with chip, and it'll do all that stuff for you. And on your computer, you not only have the possibility of kilobytes and megabytes, but you have gigabytes, and now upcoming are trigabytes. And there'll be more than that, because once they're on the upward swing, they go exponentially upward, and there's no limit, apparently. And they write about recently that the ideas that people have are the only limits to the expression of the computer. And we should be very careful, because some people's ideas are going to be rather unusual, like creating robots, you know, computer robots to do everything for us. And then, as they write in some of their science fiction stuff, the robot takes over the world. But that won't happen, because the robot will always have to be programmed by a human being. And so it can do no more than that human being was capable of doing, except exponentially more in its capacity to do it more quickly and things like that. So we do not want to live with these illusions. And the illusion, in the early days, they said if you drive over 30 miles an hour, that you'll die of no breath. You know, you won't be able to breathe at that high speed. My goodness, now we're going quite fast. We're going 100 miles an hour in our convertible. And we're breathing quite nicely. Now, I'm not saying that we should take the hood off of our jet and fly at the speed of sound without, you know, something keeping us inside. But inside a tube, we could do that. But outside of a tube? No. Okay. Outside of a tube? What can you do?
Breathing.
Thought. Stop breathing too, but thought. You think your thought, and here you are 1,000 miles away from there, and you think your thought, and instantly you can be there. Instantly. Now, that will come. That will come as common. Walking on water will come as common, because it's up right at the moment. We're looking for the stones so that we can walk on water. But the day will come when we don't look for the stones. We work with the principle. And you see, these wonderful things of knowledge and the illusion of knowledge, it limits us, because we say it can't be done just because we haven't worked out the details. The scientists in their laboratories are working on details that we would just be utterly amazed at. They haven't said anything about it yet, or if they have, it's only a slight indication of it. But they haven't said anything about it yet because it's still in the illusion state. It's still in a state that is grabbed by knowledge, and the knowledge says it can't be done, it can't be done. And then all of a sudden they do it, and then they say, well, it can be done. Mm-hmm. How quickly we change our mind. Like running the mile, it had limitations for years and years and years. Nobody broke that speed. And then someone broke it. And then another one broke it the next year. And then somebody else broke it the next year. And the high jumps, things of limitation that we put on the human body. Huh. And now we're doing all sorts of things to break these limitations. Not break the limitations, but to extend the possibility. And you see, whenever you break something, you're going contrary to something. You don't want to do that. You do not feel comfortable going contrary. But you feel very comfortable in exceeding the limits and just roaring, as the Star Trek would always say, where no other being has gone, you know, and really has not yet gone either. Or, as far as we know, maybe there are those who travel out of space. Maybe there are UFOs. And by saying UFOs, planetary devices from other planets that come here to visit us. Maybe they're, and why should they come in such fragile instruments like a spaceship? And they just think themselves here. And we think they're not here, and we think they got to come in a spaceship? My goodness, you don't even know. You may be looking at a space person right now. And you may not even know it. And we're just playing the game of being human, you know? And we're really from some other planet, and we're just sort of soaking up the environment of this place. And we thought, boy, they are really slow here. Or, my, they are very fast here. Because, you know, in Atlantean days and Lemurian days, people did much by mind and thought. And perhaps in other dimensions of life and space, too, that happens. And we maybe are in kindergarten, or maybe we're in graduate school, but it doesn't matter where we are. There are things that we can do and be and express by not having a preconceived idea of limitation. You see, when people thought the world was flat, the first thing they did was had the world flat. And then they thought the world was round. Okay, it's a round flat. And then they thought, where do the rivers run off to? Well, that's a good question. They have no answers because it runs over the horizon. and nobody wants to go there and look.
There comes the new one from.
Right. But it's the fun of it. It's the fun of it. We limit ourselves by these preconceived notions, these preconceived ideas, and it's silly. Now, we've just been working on campus procedure, and we've been seeking to separate it from the absolute monastery, and we were going to put it into the school of the master, and then we thought, no, that's not it either. Now, what do we do? So we just said, as a general rule, for God Unlimited, University of Healing, University of Philosophy, the school of the master, and any other organizations we have here, we call it campus rules. No, that's tough. Campus law. No, that's tough too. Campus principles. That's not quite suitable. Campus procedure. That sounds interesting. Ah! Sylvia and Ellen both, one accord, shouted out, modus operandi. You know, they like these foreign words because they're have their predilection in a foreign area. But modus operandi, or modi operandi. Modi operandi is the plural, and modus operandi is the singular and plural. So the modus operandi is the procedure used by any organization or person to accomplish a goal. It's oftentimes used about criminals. What is their modus operandi? You know, and then you know how a single criminal had done this particular thing because it was their unique modus operandi. They always broke in through the rear window by cutting a circle in the glass, reaching in and unlocking the window, you know. And it was the modus operandi of this particular criminal. Other people just go crash and then stick their hand in and open it. Why protect the window? You know, why keep it from, and you mess up a window when you put a circle in it, you know. when you use a glass cutter. But see, But you see, these are all the things that come up when you think of modus operandi relative to a criminal activity. But relative to operating the campus, here's some modus operandi we have. Every participant or visitor devotes themselves to a life of pure thoughts, pure words, and pure deeds. Every seminar participant, student, minister at large, visitor, all abide by the same modus operandi. I unfold my divine nature within to its highest and greatest potential. I have reverence for all life. I respect the tools and books and grounds as sacred. I hold harmless the university and the campus for any accident or incident that might happen to me on the grounds. I think and speak lovingly and positively about my life and my world. I'm an example of unconditional love. Boy, that's a dandy. As we arrive at that state, then we are masters indeed. I keep my personal living area clean and orderly. I meditate 5 minutes before every activity. Before each meal, I say this blessing, this table blessing. This food is healthy for my body and filled with love. I respect eating according to the program. I follow the changeable daily schedule. And let's see what else we have here. Oh, yes. I ask permission and pay for the use of the telephone, copy machines, fax machines, internet, postage, and mailings. And then, as a participant on campus longer than 7 days, I become a student of the University of Healing. Now, there could be a couple thousand more, and we'll probably cut this down from its number of what it is. But this is our modus operandi. This is our procedure, our way of doing things. And we want to have it be comprehensive, but we don't want to have it be limiting. So we leave a lot of things out, which are human nature, a natural way to do things. And the greatest obstacle to discovering how a campus runs is to preconceive that it is a monastery and you have big stone walls and they're cold and each person has their little cell and then they go to vespers and prayer time and then they go work in their garden or they have the vat down in the basement in the cellar of the monastery where they stomp the grapes and make wine. And then after they finish making the wine, then they all taste it and they check it out and they have a drunken orgy. These are things that go through the minds of people about a monastery. And we don't have any grapes up here.
Yes.
We have what?
We have grapes.
Oh, yes, we do have grapes. My goodness. I've been chopping them down off the porch here. The grapes were growing so abundantly and they're just not pretty to look at from where they were. But no, we don't raise grapes in the proper place, like a vineyard, like any other natural activity that goes on. But think about these things. The greatest obstacle to discovering any knowledge is the illusion of knowledge, is presuming certain things are so. And so long as we presume certain things are so, we'll never know the truth. And the truth will never be known in our lifetime of the facts of the world, because they're constantly changing. The facts are constantly changing. Today, we have to go with a spaceship to the moon, and then we're not sure about what we're doing there, and then we jump in our space suits on the moon, and we have a jolly old time, and we come back with little segments of the dirt that we found up there. It's the same stuff on Earth. And we say, aren't we wonderful? Mm-hmm. But you see, these are John Kennedy said, one step for mankind, one whatever for the world. But it's great. It's great. If we limit ourselves, we limit ourselves by the illusion of knowledge. If we unlimit ourselves, we unlimit ourselves with the reality that whatever thought we have in our mind is possible of being experienced in our everyday experience, our everyday world. So I say go for it and have yourself a ball and fie on all illusions of knowledge. I love you. I love you. I love you.